Tommy Nelson continues our study on the Song of Solomon. He begins with chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. This session is titled The Art of Courtship, Part 1. And since it is important to understand the context of this message, we suggest you stop the tape and take a few moments to read chapter 2, verses 8 through 14.
All right. Well, it's great to be here with the young studs once again to see what has been said. Isn't it amazing that you can get a few thousand people to study a 3,000-year-old document? Indeed, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable. All Scripture not was, but it is, and it always shall be. What I'd like you to do is let's look at this document in the Song of Solomon in chapter, we're at chapter 2, there in verse 8. Actually, chapter 1 probably should have gone all the way through chapter 2, verse 7. Nobody asked me, and I wasn't around. But we begin here, chapter 2, in verse 8. Let me begin with this. I think undoubtedly that all of us at some point would agree that dating is a pain and can be a painful thing. Okay. But actually, if you want to get kind of specific about it, it's not so much dating as it is the phenomena when dates stack up with the same person and you evolve into that institution that is known as courtship. You see, a bad date costs you a little time, money, and an annoyance. But courtship, when you have a bad courtship, that costs you a little bit of your soul. It's kind of like if you were to see somebody on a sub-zero day taking their tongue and putting it to a flagpole. And you would say, friend, that is an ill-designed and an uncommon union, and you're not going to get out of that without leaving a little part of you on that flagpole. Well, that's kind of what courtship is. When you start dating the same person over and over and over, you may not do it like the quiet man with John Wayne coming and having your formal proposal, but when you date the same person, you're into courtship. Be it in Dallas or in Victorian England, you're into courtship. Now, dating takes a little bit of time and a little bit of politeness. Courtship is a different animal altogether, and it takes all kind of sensitivity. You can't go too shallow or you frustrate it. You can't go too deep, too fast, or too far or you destroy it. Courtship takes great flexibility. It takes tenderness, sensitivity. It takes holiness. Courtship really is just what the word says. To treat somebody in a courtly manner is to treat them like they were a prince or a princess, to bring them to your way of thinking and to trust you. When you date a young lady and you court her, you treat her in a certain way that she'll want to spend the rest of her life with you. You treat a young man in your words, your responses, your actions, so that he's convinced about you and he wants to spend the rest of his life with you. Courtship takes you intentionally to marriage. Dating is observation. Courtship is depth. Dating is no more than a time allotment. Dating is an end in itself. Courtship intends to go to marriage if possible. Dating, there's no strings attached. Courtship, you have responsibility, trust, and you're now vulnerable and you can be hurt. Dating is marketing. Courtship is the close, if you know what I'm saying. Now, what I'm going to do is in this text, I'm going to show you four things that have to occur last week in dating to have a proper courtship. Then I'm going to show you two ways when those things occur, when those planks of proper dating are laid that this couple did, there's two ways that a person should feel, specifically this man. And then you're going to see two ways that are two things that this man does. So you'll see how he feels, you'll see in courtship what he does, and then you're going to see three responses this woman has toward a fellow who treats her in a certain way and has treated her in a certain way in courtship. And then you're going to see a common commitment. Now let me just touch just really quickly on what we looked at last week. To have a good courtship, four things have to occur in dating. And this is where we have a large group of singles in Denton, Texas. And I've worked with singles all of my ministerial life, and I see this pain all the time that occurs in improper planks of dating. The number one thing you have to do in dating is you have to have the wisdom to properly evaluate the character of the person that you are now going to court. In other words, what you see is what you get. In other words, you are courting what they are, not what they are not, and you have to be willing to live in courtship with the character, the standard of righteousness, and also the personality. If you're going to court somebody, you're saying that I've evaluated them in dating, and if it's a quiet person in dating, you can't court and then marry and make them noisy. If it is a fellow who has the sensitivity of a stomach pump in dating, you can't try to court with this fellow and marry him and think you're going to change him. Women have been trying it forever, and it will not work. If you're dating an unspiritual woman and you have great plans for God, it is not fair for you to marry that person, to court that person, and not accept their standard of righteousness. It's a cliche, but you make your bed, and then you have to lie in it. And so you see all of these, and I see these bad, bad relationships that were in courting and in marriage, and I say, was he this kind of fellow when you dated him? Yes. Well, what were you thinking? It is the job of the Holy Ghost to transform, not yours. And so you have to have the wisdom, like this couple did, to properly evaluate that person that you have dated, that you intend to go to courtship. All right? The standard of moral righteousness and the personality. You've got to be willing to live with them. Secondly, you've got to have consistency in dating. I see all of these couples that fight in dating and fall in and out of dating and break up and get back together, so they say, look, it ain't going to work too well. Let's get married. We're not bench pressing 70 pounds. Let's stack 350 on the bar. We can't get along in 4 hours a day. Let's commit till we're 90 and never leave the house. Not wise. Folks, your dating relationship should be easy. You should be able to negotiate it. You should have the same standard of moral uprightness. And you should be able to live with the kind of person God has made and has given you. So I've never seen a good courtship from a dating that breaks up, breaks out, and then gets back together. You just can't do it. Thirdly, this is a biggie. In dating, you have to have the sensitivity of communication. This is where most specifically girls get hurt. Now here's what I mean. Fellas, if you've been dating a girl 4 or 5 weeks, that girl's thinking some things. You have got to speak up and tell her how you feel. Anybody read Dave Barry this week in the Dallas Morning News? Great article. He said women are reaching for a relationship. He said men shy from responsibility. He said if a man was a chicken breast and you put him in the microwave in July, he wouldn't be ready at Thanksgiving. Men shy away from that kind of commitment. Fellas, when you've taken her out 5, 6 times, then you've got to sit down with her and say, you know, I want you to know, I don't know if you're the girl that God has for my life or whether you would want to be, but I know this, you're certainly the type of woman that I would want to spend my life with, and I so enjoy spending this time with you, and I would like to ask you if I could keep taking you out as to whether I can fall completely in love with you and you can be my wife. And I want you to know that if you would like to back out of this, you owe me nothing but honesty. You have been nothing but upright with me. And then here's the key. This will get her right here, right? Then you say this. You say, and if I'm not the fellow, not only do you need to leave me, but I'll pray and find the guy that you should marry. That'll work. You see what I'm saying? And in the same way, fellas, if you're taking this girl and she's a wonderful friend, but it doesn't want to go any deeper, then you need to say, And girls, you need to give him the freedom to say. And incidentally, guys, always give a girl an out. I at this point, I would hate to be a woman. Women don't like messing on guys all the time, you know, and just putting them down. I said to my wife, I would hate to be a woman and always have some knucklehead like us, you know, kind of, you know, say, and what do you say to them? Nah, get out. Or why don't you die or something like this? How does a woman graciously drop a guy off? That's a hard thing to do. Always give a girl the option to say, you tell me no and I'll go away. And in the same way, fellas, if you're taking a girl out and she's a wonderful girl, but you don't see it going any place, you need to say, you're a wonderful person. I so enjoy just spending time with you as a friend. I don't see my heart going any place. And girls, that may not make you happy or excited, but nevertheless, he's been honest with you. And I see more couples get hurt from bad communication and the lack of it. Somebody's got to talk. Now, don't do it on the first date, because that's presumptuous. But after a while, somebody's got to talk. And listen, I had this done to me, and I know it can be done. Maple Street dorm, 1972, girl sat with me and said, you know, she was a Christian girl, I so enjoy spending this time with you. However, you know, I would feel, she was sharp, she said, I would feel such a peace if God were to take us now in different ways. And it didn't take, you know, Forrest Gump too long right here to figure this out. God gives peace when I'm not around. All right, I see what you're saying. But she was able to do it. So you got to talk. Are you with me? This is good stuff. Now, and this couple did this in their dating. The couple had wisdom of evaluation. They had sensitivity and communication. And they got along. They had consistency. And the other big one is you have got to have patience in letting the relationship go on. Don't escalate a relationship too quick. How do you escalate a relationship too quick? One way is couples share too much, too deep, too fast. You go to Denny's and you spend from 7 to 2 on the first date, and the guy just goes, yeah, and just lets everything out in his entire life. And sometimes you can bind too quick on that. Another way is, how can you say this? Keep your hands off each other. You know what I'm saying? Is sometimes you get your hands too fast on somebody. It's like those kids at the mall, and energy's coming off of them like bug zappers, you know, where they're walking around with each other on the mall. And you know they're playing with fire. So you don't, and especially guys, you don't go kissing on some woman before you're willing to be responsible to hold her heart. Listen, when I was in high school, I remember going to one of those dances, one of those senior dances, and this girl, she had just little Tommy with her in all of my 18 years of maturity. And I remember dancing with this girl and her kissing me about 3 times on the neck during dance. I had never been kissed on the neck by a woman until that time. And let me tell you, I was naming the kids when she was kissing me. Because I wanted it to go someplace. And afterwards, we went walking to the park, and she put her arm around me. And I remember the next day going to school, and she was going about, hey, Tom, and she went her way. And she didn't realize, like Mel Gibson says in the movie, that you're holding my heart forever young. She was holding my heart. And so be careful of taking it too deep. And fellas, good word. Whenever a girl says thanks but no thanks, or whenever a girl shows any inclination, here's a great verse for you. Do you see Proverbs? Do you see honey? Eat what you need, lest you eat too much and vomit it up. Next verse. Let your foot not be often in your neighbor's house, lest he come to despise you. Those two verses are putting right next to each other to show that a good thing is good, but too much of a good thing, when you become a bore, can make people hate you. If that girl shows a favoritism towards you and a kindness towards you, don't move your apartment over by her, you know. How many of you girls have ever felt that you were dating Norman Bates? And you were afraid to show him any kind of kindness whatsoever. So if she says no, you go away. Ladies, would you like to give me an amen right there? All right. None of the guys in here intended, all right, but nevertheless. Now, those are keys that this couple has done in dating. Now, once those are established, let's take a look at chapter 2. In verse 8, we're in a new day. And this couple that has dated with wisdom and success and consistency and sensitivity and piety and restraint. Now, let's see what a man should feel in a good courtship. Verse 8. Listen, my beloved. Behold, he is coming, climbing on the mountains, leaping on the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. And in verse 7, she is called a young doe, a gazelle. Behold, he is standing behind our wall. He's looking through the windows. He is peering through the lattice. This man is pictured as a stag. And he runs and he leaps on the mountains to get closer to this woman. He is excited. This is what a man should feel, and a woman also, in a relationship that is going into courtship. Time should not dwindle. Time kindles this relationship. That's why one of the greatest tests of a relationship is the separation test when you're away from each other. Is it out of sight, out of mind? Or do you feel like a young stag wanting to get closer and closer to her? Listen, when I'm away from my wife, I did a trip to Jerusalem one time for 3 weeks. Cost me $300 in phone calls just to hear my wife's voice because I couldn't take being away from her. Time kindles a good relationship. Every time that I read this text, I think of something that I saw when I was in college. Our athletic dorm was just down from the girls' dorm at Maple Street, and the dorms would close at 11 o'clock, and you would see the guys at about 10:50 on a dead run down to Maple Street dorm, running as fast as they could just to have one word with their beloved girls. Because that's the excitement that a man feels. Or I remember a couple of guys two doors down from me in our athletic dorm on Friday nights at about 7 o'clock, you would hear their stereo go up full volume with the William Tell overture. And they were going out. And that's the way that a fellow feels. So this fellow is excited. Look at something else. Verse 10. What period? Girls can answer this so well. What period of the year are we in here, ladies? Verse 10. My beloved responded and said to me, "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along. For winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers have already appeared in the land. The time has arrived for pruning the vines. The voice of the turtle dove has been heard in our land. The fig tree has ripened. The vines and blossom have given forth fragrance. Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along." Ladies, what period are we in? Yes, isn't it? It's time for growth. It's springtime and summer that we've moved into. That's the second thing that a relationship should produce, is life. How many times have you seen singles begin to date that are spiritual, godly people? And once they get to date, their spiritual relationship goes down. And there is not life produced. There's guilt and anger. They disappear from church. They disappear from Bible study. The guy's worried about her. He doesn't read his Bible. That's why not just the separation test, but the time test. Time should produce life. When I was with my wife, fellas, I wanted to read my Bible more, to keep up the pace to be able to merit this woman. I met her in a prayer group at Campus Crusade for Christ when she was heading the prayer group for an illusionist named Andre Cole that was coming, and I was the MC, and I met this woman. And I wanted to walk close with God just to be with her. And if I hadn't have shown up in church, if I had dropped out, if I had acted immorally to her, I'm convinced Teresa would have dropped me like a hot rock as she should have. So your life should blossom. I gave you the illustration at the beginning of last week's message of a girl I saw in my church walking up the street, euphoric under infatuation. And I saw her a couple of months later, and she was bitter and beaten and washed out spiritually because of pain and of immorality with this fellow. It ruined her Christian life. And I know some of you single directors have seen singles in your church individually walk with God, get into a relationship, and wash out. No, if they pull you down, it's not springtime. This couple flourishes. What are two things you should feel? You should feel desire, and you should feel life by being around this person. Verse 14. Now, what's something that you do? Watch this. Oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret path or place of the steep pathway, let me hear your form, your voice. Let me hear your voice. Your voice is sweet and your form is lovely. Fellas, what kind of position is this girl in? She is an innocent dove up in the clefts of a rock in the steep pathway back there. Solomon thought that he knew her in dating, but he didn't. And now she's coming out. And guys, to a dove in the clefts of the rock, there's nothing more frightening than a man's hands. And this girl is back there, and she's slowly and surely coming out. And this is the way it's going to be in courtship. You think you know each other, but you don't. And you're going to start going deeper. And it takes now discovery. And that's what should take place in courtship. How do you discover? One thing that you do, and I'm a great believer in this, is that you should have an airing of your linen. You should have one time with your mate to be, this girl that you love, this girl that you have blossomed around, this girl that you have appraised, communicated with, dated successfully, that you have let the relationship develop, that you're growing with. There should be one time that you get them and you talk to them honestly about what you used to be. You don't want to surprise your mate later in marriage to say, I never knew you were a Chippendale dancer. Well, she can take an imperfect man, but she can't take a deceiver. And ladies, some of these guys are going to surprise you. You're going to get some guys that have been sodomized as boys. You're going to have some guys that have not wept since they were little that are going to weep in your presence, sharing some things that have hurt you because men just swallow it. You're going to have some guys that no matter how godly they look, they have been through a number of women. Fellas, you might think that girl is pristine, pure in Christ, but she might tell you some things that will amaze you. Now you're saying, what, Tom? Boy, if you knew my past. Tom, what if I tell them and they can't forgive? Then you turn and run. Because if they can't forgive you for what you did against another, then what's going to happen when you get married and they have to forgive you for what you do against them? Don't you dare marry an unforgiving person, because unforgiveness is the root of pride and of self-righteousness. You air it out one time. Fellas, how does Jesus Christ love your girl to be? Ephesians 5, He has washed her by the washing of water with the Word to present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spot, nor wrinkle, nor any such thing. There is no spot so nasty that He cannot get it out. See also Paul the adulterer, or the murderer, David the adulterer, Mary Magdalene the prostitute, the Zacchaeus the tax collector. He can forgive anything. And there is no wrinkle. That's something that's hidden. There are some things in your life that only you and God, an offended person, and your mate-to-be will know. And if you forgive like God forgives, there's no wrinkle. There's no hidden thing that you can't forgive. You talk and you cry. And fellas, if you've got a girl that in some of these girls have been hurt so deeply. And when a man puts his hands out, they're going to instinctively go back in the steep place. When she tells you of how she has been hurt, of what she's been through, many of them of immorality they have been through, let me tell you, you're going to want to take that girl and hold her so close to you. You're going to love her so deeply that your thought is going to be, sweetie, you are never going to be hurt again. You're with a man that's going to treat you with such kindness and such dignity and such love and with such gentleness. And in the same way, girls, you're going to look at him and say, you're going to find all of your needs satisfied in me. You will never, ever get defiled again. So you talk. You know what the next way you're going to find out about your mate? Is the inevitability of time. You're going to stumble onto things. I remember. I'm not a really good pathfinder. I get lost easily. My wife is Daniel Boone. She never gets lost. I kid you not. On one occasion, we were driving around, and I was in a place, and I said, where are we? And Teresa went, there's our backyard right there. Honest. She can find her way anywhere. I can't find my place, no place. When we were dating early on, I and my dear sweet wife-to-be, my dear precious dove, she and I would go to speak in the Metroplex area, and whenever I would get kind of lost, I would do the obvious thing you would do to find your way around. I would look for a water tower with the high school mascot on it. And I knew if it was a fighting farmer, or if it was a Grand Prairie, whatever, where I was, okay? Smart guy. And one time, I got mixed up, and I said, I don't know where we are. I went in, and I said to this 7-Eleven guy, I said, where am I? Is this Louisville? He said, no, you're in Irving. I went, ha, ha, and I went out, and I said, Teresa, we're in Irving. We're going to be late. I thought that was so funny. And she looks at me with these eyes, and she ain't laughing. And I found out some things about my wife, and I found out little things that still today I discover about her. My wife is of the genus species, what is called Pacus ratum. She saves everything. We have boxes of hair from the shower. I ain't kidding you. Not really. But that's the way she is. Me? I love to clean house. I take a trash can bag. And I clean like Sherman did Atlanta, all right? Everything's gone. I've thrown away paychecks. I've thrown away bills, everything. She don't think that's funny. Can you imagine? And she and I sometimes do this. You're going to inevitably learn things. Now, what do? When you start finding out the flaws on your mate, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. You and your wife are going to be emery boards. You and your husband are going to shave each other like this. What do you do?